tingamalo wadi ane dala.
Hi there, this is Steve with Illumini, where we explore, listen, learn, and enlighten. In this episode, I'll be talking with Mary Wanjiri. She's a senior case manager at the Gone Road Children's Foundation. I'll be talking with her in a follow-up to our last episode, where we talked with Michonne Garrett about the COVID-19 Gone Road Children's Foundation Family Tracking Study. This is a tracking study that is being conducted in Nairobi, Kenya, among the 365 families served by Gone Road Children's Foundation. The purpose of the tracking study is to really keep in touch with the families as they are going through the process of managing their lives and their students and their children and the resources, and just really trying to understand how things are going amidst the COVID-19 as it reaches Nairobi. The impacts still in Nairobi have been relatively well contained, but the being in a ready position is critical to anticipating needs. We go into detail about what that tracking study is and how it's done and all that kind of stuff in our last episode. But this week, we want to speak with Mary Wanjiri, senior case manager at Gone Road Children's Foundation, to really get a kind of put some life to the data. The data are reporting on a regular basis, but what does that really mean? How does this play out? How is a family and a student being affected by doing the tracking study? So we want to take a little time to talk with Mary. She's one of the case managers who speaks directly with some of the families, and also what Gone Road Children's Foundation is being able to do to address it. So with that, here is my conversation with Mary. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you.
Okay, fine.
Are you talking to us from home?
Yes, I'm doing today the call from home because we had some challenges with the network. So I didn't want maybe we have some hitches during our call.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Yeah. That sounds great. Yeah. Good to hear from you. And first question, of course, is are you safe and well amidst the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah, for my case, I'm safe and well following the government directives so as to keep safe from the COVID-19.
That's really good. That's really good to hear. And I think we've been still fortunate hearing that there's still just one case among the Gone Road families. Is that correct? Like an alumni's father or something like that?
Yeah, the families and the students are keeping safe. We have been in contact with them through phone calls and checking on their well-being. And they are also strictly following the government directive. So the families and the students are all safe.
That's wonderful. Our last episode of Illumini on the COVID-19 update, we spoke with Michonne Garrett at Friends of Gone Road, and we talked about the system that was being implemented by Gone Road Children's Foundation with the COVID-19 family tracking study. And we talked a lot about the numbers and the data and things like that. And, you know, what we really thought is you as a case manager, wanted to talk to you about kind of giving some life to some of the numbers. And so kind of curious if we can talk about a family that may represent or exemplify someone who has been in need, and Gone Road Children's Foundation has been able to help through that process. So I'm wondering if you can kind of tell us a little story about, if you have one in mind that you can tell us about.
Okay, thank you, Steve. I'm going to give a story on Rodney and his family. So Rodney is a Form 1 student at Makwa Boys, and he lives with his mother, nephew, and brother. The family lives in the slums of Kawangware and lives in a one-roomed house made of iron sheets and timber. In mid-June, the family was evicted due to rent arrears amounting to Kenya shillings 6,000. The landlord locked all their belongings in the house, and they only left with the clothes they had on. The family had no alternative but to move to a relative's home, who welcomed them. The relative was able to support them with some clothes to change and also offered shelter to the family. Us as the NLCF family, we kept in touch with the family, giving counseling and psychosocial support. And we continued issuing food aid. And also for Rodney, we supported him with some revision materials.
Wow. So they came home and they found themselves locked out. You said that they got evicted, but what was it that meant that she didn't have the income to be able to pay for rent?
So for Rodney's mother, her source of income was selling firewood to the slum dwellers, but the business was not doing well, so she didn't have much income and was not able to pay for the house rent. And the arrears amounted to Kenya shillings 6,000, which led to the family being evicted.
So her business of selling the firewood was affected because the families that she was selling to could not afford to buy the firewood. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes. So the business was not doing well.
So what?
And she still didn't have enough capital to get more firewood to sell.
And so that even represents the fact that the communities that she was serving or the market she was selling to was impacted by COVID-19 to the extent that they were not even able to afford firewood to either cook, probably to cook mostly, right? Cook or heat their home, but mostly to cook, right?
Yeah, mostly to cook. Most families will use firewood or charcoal to cook their meals.
So here, that just reflects the broader issue, the broader problem, right, is that in the communities where she's serving, they are even suffering, not even being able to afford firewood to cook.
Yeah.
Okay. That kind of reflects how this problem is echoing, doesn't it? It's just like it's
Yeah, sure.
And so they were able to move in with a family member. Are they still living with that family member now?
We have been following up on the family. So they lived with the relative for 1 month. During that period, Rodney's mom was able to start some laundry jobs at a small fee. And this little income she got, she used it to offset the house area, and the landlord was agreed to open the house, and that is how the family happily returned to their home.
Oh, so they did have they ended up paying for the rent and being able to get back in.
Yeah, it's not the whole amount, but the situation in Kenya right now is that most of the families, they are not able to pay all the rent arrears, but if they are able maybe to pay just a little, because the situation is understandable by everyone, so families are allowed to continue living in their home.
How was it? So is this a student that you spoke with specifically or another case manager?
No, this is a case. I'm the case worker. I'm the case manager.
Okay. Yes. I'm wondering kind of emotionally, how did that feel for the family when they found themselves locked out?
It was a really difficult and trying moment, because when the mom called me, she told me, "Mary, it's so unfortunate. We have been evicted and everything is inside the house, our belongings, Rodney's books are inside. There's nothing we can do." So she was really emotional. You could tell she's in tears, but she's a strong woman as I have known her. So she was strong for the family. And you can tell that even when she was evicted, she continued looking for odd jobs to keep the family going. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So they were in that other place for about a month.
Yeah, for about a month.
Okay. And you were able to kind of keep track and keep in contact with them through that period?
Yes, I was.
You manage a lot of other families too, don't you?
Yes, I have met other families, but what has happened to other families, they opted to move maybe to lower houses that, you know, the cost is much cheaper. So most of the families moved to more cheaper homes. Yeah, but for this family, it was just like abrupt. So they were not prepared. Yes.
So you've had other families who have also faced this circumstance, you're saying?
Yes.
And is there anything, I thought early on, maybe it was when we were talking, it sounded like, you know, some of these landlords were doing some of these things and the organization was helping with some of the families in terms of working with the chiefs, the local representatives. Is that correct?
Yeah, I know some people we advised them to go to the local chief and maybe ask the chief if they could intervene. But you find in some situation, because now the COVID-19 situation continued to rise. So you find most of them didn't offer much help. Even when people are crying out on the government maybe to help intervene on maybe the landlords to reduce on the rent amount, you find the government didn't do much. Yes, I can say on the ground it's different, and even around my home environment, people have really moved because the rent is still the same. People have lost jobs or their salaries have reduced, and they have their stomachs to feed. So it has become really wild. Somehow I can say that it's really challenging. Most families have moved to cheaper homes.
And I mean, and I'm just visualizing, when you say cheaper homes, I mean, they're already cheap to begin with, right?
Maybe not really cheap. It's what they were paying. It's maybe lesser, maybe with 2,000. 3,000, yeah. So someone feels if I'm able to save two thousand or 1,000 in a month, maybe it can go towards maybe buying some food, some vegetables, or paying the electricity bill.
But you also think that, you know, some of the expensive homes, you make decisions based upon the safety, you know, where that home is, and you know, if you're having to pay less rent, you might find yourself in a more dangerous neighborhood, I would imagine.
Yeah, and that is what is happening. Not even moving again. No, it's a challenge, because if they can say that when there was the containment of the counties, so when the containment was raised, we had so many families move to the rural areas. Because if maybe you have to move from a more secure place, it means you have to go to a place that is less secure. And so most of the families have even opted going to the rural area as we talk.
You've actually had a lot of families who have left the county to go to, what is it called, upcountry or?
Yeah, yes, to their upcountry. And one example is Rodney's mother, the cousin. They left last weekend. They moved to the rural area. They cannot afford to live in Nairobi anymore, so they had to move. But for our families, we are lucky when we are feeding them. If they are able to do other maybe small odd jobs, they can be able to, you know, maneuver around.
Yeah, because it seems like the big threat would be if the family moves outside of Nairobi, you kind of lose contact with them, don't you?
Yeah, but we just have very few families that moved out of Nairobi, but we have been in touch with them because, for the food aid, we disburse some money to the family. So from here, wherever they are able to buy food.
So with the student that you're speaking of, how is he staying connected? Is he staying connected with school in any way? Or is he able to do any kind of the distance learning? or is he disconnected from that?
Okay, he's able to get revision materials. Like the other day, we had some printed notes and some past papers, and we were able to issue to the mother for him to do some revision studies.
And yeah. She was able to pick that up when she picked up the food. Is that right?
Yes.
In contact, can you stay in contact with this family as they're going through their change and help maintain an understanding of their status?
Yeah, we are very much in contact, because like for our food for our food aid support, we give after every 2 weeks. So you find most of the times I get to meet the mom and we talk. And then the good thing is that also when she has an issue, she's able to talk to me, give me a call and tell me this is happening. Yes, yeah, so I'm updated with how the family is doing.
That's wonderful. And I'm just curious, so this reflects one family. How many other families are you specifically working with?
For my case, I have 59. Yes. So those are the number of students assigned to me.
So you are working with 59 families. So you're calling those families, you're like rotating and you're calling, how many do you call a day? I mean, you're trying to do this, each of these, you probably have to call like at least four or five a day, huh?
Okay, what we have been doing, we have had some assessments, and these assessments have standard questions that we ask the families to know how the family is faring on and the update on the student. So we are usually given a duration of 1 month for us to have contacted all the families and completed the assessment.
But you've got 59 families, so that means you have, and on average, two families a day that you have to reach for sure.
But mostly maybe we do five.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time talking. Well, it's really wonderful that you're able to keep in contact with the families and really understand what their status is. But I think probably also important how it's changing, right? Because you're able to kind of monitor what their status is on a regular basis going forward.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
That's really good. Okay, well, thank you for this update. I think giving us a story about an example of what the data is being reported is really helpful. And I hope maybe we can check in later. Hopefully, this is not going to go on forever. So hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hopefully we can maybe check back with you or maybe another case manager to kind of get another example as Friends of Gone Road reports the findings of the tracking each month or so. Well, Mary, thanks so much for that story. It really personalizes the data. I know you're talking to people every day on a regular basis, so your work is so valuable, and you're right on the front line with understanding and helping the organization to help adjust to serving those families because of these changing needs. So thank you for that, just from my perspective. And thank you for spending some time today to kind of help tell that story.
Thank you, Steve, and it was great speaking to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you, Mary, for that insight to a personal story through the data being collected through the COVID-19 tracking study of the students. Hope to get more updates as the time progresses. Who knows how long we'll be doing this, but at least the information is being collected and tracking is being performed to compare over time. Hey, if you have any ideas or feedback on this podcast or others from the past, please let me know. Until next time, we hope to explore, listen, learn, and enlighten. Take care, everybody. Stay safe. Nella mabiro pindirum.